Good afternoon, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. The first thing I'd like to do is to say a prayer for those people, children, and adults that were killed in the flash flooding about 80 miles north of San Antonio. So here's the prayer. Creator of the universe, God, please bless the souls of those who lost their lives and comfort their loved ones. Also, please bless the rescuers, people out there looking right now. Keep them safe and well as they look for possible survivors. And if there are any, please help them to hang on and survive as long as possible. Thank you for everything. Here in San Antonio, my friends, it's overcast. We've gotten some rain over the last several days, but it's not like up north there where it's more flat. There's less trees, I think, and a little bit drier, you know, all the conditions that are ripe, so to speak, for flash flooding are not here anyway where I live. But in Texas, probably more so than other states because of the dryness that we have. And this year it's been raining more than usual. Could that be global warming? I don't know. I think there's a likelihood of it being more global warming than not, let me put it that way. And just another horrible way to be taken back home to our spirit land where we came from. However, if you believe in predetermination and predestiny, sometimes these accidents are written into our life plans in the pre-existence so that ultimately we can help the planet and all the people within it to evolve to a higher level. It's unfortunate, but I've read so many times that there really isn't death. It's just a transition, like walking through a door to another, the other side. We are spirits in the material world. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anyone should now not know that fact. And when we sleep at night, our spirits or our astral bodies, if you will, they leave our physical bodies and they go to the dreamland or the spirit land. And there we are refreshed. Problems that were on our minds are solved. We intermingle with other souls, work out problems dealing with the earth, issues, obstacles in the way of evolution, and we work those out, and then we go back into our bodies and feeling refreshed, then we're ready to take on a new day and better handle those problems that were on our minds, so to speak. So dreaming is like another reality, my friend. And once we do dream, like I said, we leave our bodies and we travel in our spirits. Because that is the real self. That is our real self. And dream control is something that we know very little about. And I think it's a very worthy endeavor to study. Hold on just a minute, please. Be right back. I closed the door. Lenny was barking. Our dog Lenny was barking inside. So now, still hear him, but less. Did you know that planet Earth is actually evolving? It is cosmic being in its own right. In fact, Mother Earth, also known as Gaia, is more a female kind of spirit, if you will. A cosmic being going through her own process of evolution, my friends, just like we are. It is a category one planet on a scale of 1 to 9 as far as evolution is concerned, which means that it is a planet of the lowest evolutionary scale, or let me rephrase that. It is the lowest on the evolutionary scale, meaning that there is a lot of war and killing that's been going on from the very beginning throughout the centuries to where we are today, and even now there's war and killing going on. But in all fairness to the human beings that have lived on this planet before and who are currently living on our world, it is a very, very, and I emphasize the word very, difficult learning environment to be here. It's like a school, the school of planet Earth, the university of the universe. And yes, there are 9 grades, as I mentioned. One is like kindergarten, right, if you will. Number 9 is the number of the universe. And just as we go through school, from kindergarten all the way through when we graduate from high school and do 4 years of college and maybe 2 years master's degree, we are constantly ascending, increasing our spiritual development, evolving our souls. So it is throughout the universe, where by now you should know, all reasonable people should understand, I'd say that in a good way, that with our technology today, we are able to discover more and more new planets throughout the universe. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think there have been thousands discovered, which should give you a glimpse, if you will, in your imagination, in your vision, to therefore realize that the universe is teeming with planets. Every star you see up there in the evening sky has planets that revolve around it. That is not an accepted fact in the scientific community, but it is true, my friends. Every single star in the evening sky has planets that revolve around it. In fact, I've seen them before. If you take a fairly decent telescope, maybe 200 power at least, and focus in on one of those stars, you will see what looks like a horseshoe revolving around the sun. And with that knowledge in mind, therefore, there are millions and millions of stars in the physical universe. Right? I don't want to boggle your minds with a number. Make it something easier to understand. Millions and millions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy and other galaxies and throughout the universe. And there are many, many, many galaxies out there. I don't know how many. They say also millions. So millions times million, you're looking at trillions of planets out there. And some of them, no doubt, by a process of elimination and using our logical minds, we can deduce that there's a lot of them that are Earth-like. And others that might not be what we understand conducive to having life as we know it, because our knowledge of life is limited, right? Our explanation of the word life is limited to what we have seen here on our planet and throughout our solar system and our exploration of our own solar system has not been that much, really. The Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft and Galileo and the Cassini missions explored Jupiter and Saturn. But we know that life as we know it does not exist on those planets and their moons, even though some have atmospheric conditions which possibly could support life. And then there is one of Jupiter's moons called Europa, which is covered by ice. And NASA suspects that there might be an ocean underneath the ice which covers the surface. And this ice could be as thick as 60 miles thick or less. But one plan that NASA had was to send a spacecraft to Europa and drop a probe that would land on the surface and burrow through that ice using heat or electrical impulses or some kind of technology that would help it melt through the ice down into the ocean and down to the bottom of the ocean where, like here on Earth, there are hydrothermal vents. And usually there's a lot of life around hydrothermal vents. Check it out on YouTube or Google it. There's usually a plethora of life that hangs around hydrothermal vents on the bottom of oceans. So, also, one of Jupiter's moons, also, it's called Ganymede. Ganymede, you might have heard me say this before, is a moon that has a lot of volcanic activity on it. Now, in accordance with the book, I Visited Ganymede by Joseph Abraham, there's a civilization of human beings that live on Ganymede. And they moved there when their planet between Jupiter and Mars was destroyed many thousands of years ago due to overzealous experiments with antimatter, because they were and are a very advanced civilization. And thus you have the asteroid belt between Jupiter and Mars because of the remains of their planets. They moved to Ganymede and set up their new civilization there. And now I've harnessed the volcanic activity in ways that they can power their cities by utilizing the volcanic activity with some special kinds of technology that turn that thermal activity into electrical power. Do you know what I mean? And also, they have built their cities half above the ground and half under the ground. A race of human beings. Imagine that, in our own solar system, but more advanced than our own. They are more advanced in ways such as how they worship, how they pray to the creator of the universe. They are able to access what is best described as the fourth dimension, my friends, by their worship and praise. They can do it in a degree, in a manner that is so powerful that they can bring angelic beings and spirits into their presence, because they're not afraid of that. They welcome them because it helps them in their spiritual development, their own spiritual development, to become more evolved souls. That is accessible to us also, my friends. So just by knowing that with your words and with your intent, we can also do that. Let me give you an example. At church every Sunday, I go to Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. I used to be a member of the gospel choir, and then after 12 years, I joined in 2012, and 2024, in the summer, they combined the Protestant service with the gospel service, and so the gospel service went away. But now, like it was before, when it's time to praise God, and everyone has their own idea of who God is, Jesus is, and the creator of the universe is. Some people are more evolved than others, shall I say. Everyone's at their own different stage of evolution, and that's okay because we've got one goal in mind, one goal in common, and that is to praise the Creator for our lives and for the beauty of this planet and the beauty of the universe. And so the songs we sing are very lovely and wonderful, and the lyrics are awesome and offer really awesome praise to, I know personally, because I'm 70 years old, who I pray to and who I worship. I've got it down to a science. I've been studying this for many years. Now, you could say it's my opinion, and you're right if you say that. We're all entitled to our opinions. However, I base my opinions on the books I've read in the past, people I've talked with, and the way I see it, and I'm kind of branching off here, so bear with me. We are all children of the creator of the universe. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. The creator of the universe created the physical universe with the Big Bang, and the universe began forming itself one solar system at a time, and one galaxy at a time. But part of the plan was not only to create suns and planets and moons, but also to have plant and animal life and sentient life. And when I say sentient life, I mean beings like us, humanoid mostly, maybe different color skins, different shaped eyes, different heights, different levels of evolution, because one has to understand that the universe began maybe 15 billion years ago. And it began expanding outwards in a circular motion, in a circular manner. Here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, a relatively new galaxy compared to the others. And so you can say that we are a young species, although you have a lot of old souls coming back here. And so the sentient beings that exist throughout the universe and other planets have different levels of advancement and evolution because they've been in existence longer. Does that make sense? Hundreds of millions of years longer. Even before the Milky Way galaxy was formed, they were traveling throughout the universe with their spacecraft capable of traveling light speed. Well, going back to what I was saying, I believe in the creator of the universe. And also that plan I was talking about involves a mother and father God who are co-creator gods who were like us at one time, living on different planets throughout the universe, evolving through the process of reincarnation to a point where they evolved their souls to a degree where, along with their soulmates, they were able and are able to create life, are able to create planets and suns and plant and animal life. And we are like they were. We are getting to where they are. They are, how would I say this better? They command solar systems. They are the most evolved type of spirit and soul that you can reach. They are at the top of the evolutionary scale. They can't be the creator of the universe, but they can be like the creator of the universe. And when they get to that level, then they can utilize, know how to use the cosmic forces that exist, that the creator of the universe put in effect, that are available to us, for those with the knowledge, on how to create life and suns and planets. And we are co-creator gods in the making, like they were. And believe me, my friends, you might think this is way out in right field, and I am perhaps taking a chance on this, putting myself out on the line. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Space is infinite. Agreed? Life is eternal, and space, as we know it, up there beyond our Earth's atmosphere, the fabric of space, which can be warped. Einstein said it best, that space is a fabric, and we can change it, and we can ride it, surf it, like some extraterrestrials do. And there is a patch of space out there available to you, just like a piece of land here on Earth, for you to have on your own, along with your soulmate. Have your own spirit children, of course. Create your sun first, and all these different planets that you're going to have in your solar system, different sizes and colors, and each one with a specific purpose, not just randomly to look good, but just like our planets, all of them, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto. You might think that they don't serve a purpose. Well, they do. Not in any way that we know it, because we're just, like I said, we're in kindergarten here on planet Earth. We don't know too much yet. We've made some great advances over the last 150 years or so, but we still don't know. We still know very little compared to some other extremely advanced civilizations out there throughout the universe. So when you reach that level of perfection, one life after another, kind of like iron, you know, how it's refined, it has to be put in the fire and over again, and finally and purified and made to, you have a final product. That's the way it is for us through that process of reincarnation. And when we reach that level of evolution, then we will know how to use those cosmic forces for our own disposal. And it has to be perfect. As we purify ourselves and get closer to be like the creator of the universe, we'll realize that there is very little room for imperfection, my friends, in all that we do. It is a process of perfectionization. How about that? You like that word, perfectionization? Where we want to get to where we are like God. As I mentioned, we can't be the creator, but we can be like he, she. And that was part of the plan, besides creating all these solar systems and galaxies, that we could also create our own solar system with a knowledge of the powers of the universe that are there for our disposal. Now, I've kind of regressed. I've kind of gone off in a tangent. Well, not regressed, but I've gone off in a tangent. I was talking about the way we worship at my church, at the chapel. I'm going to take a drink. And we all have our different ways of worshiping and praising God, right? Some people, they don't know as much. They don't know, let me put it this way, they don't know the things that I know. And maybe I don't know some of the things that they do. It's too bad that we couldn't share at times, you know, what we know amongst each other. But suffice it to say, not everybody is an old soul. There are young souls, there are intermediate souls, and then there are the advanced souls who are usually well-traveled, been around the universe for thousands of years or longer, and maybe have 25, 50 past lives that they have lived. Not everyone is like that. And you never know. Sometimes I can usually tell by looking at somebody and hearing what they say, if they are an old soul or not. It's not something to be proud of necessarily. I mean, I think I am. I can't remember any of my past lives, but none of us can, because we are born into this planet. Born, my friends, born. We were babies once. Yeah, those beautiful, cuddly little babies, we were all them, weren't we, at one time? And we go through the river of oblivion, and the memory of our past lives and our access to universal knowledge is erased from our minds. And that's the way it's supposed to be on this planet, if you live here, because it's a very special learning environment. Don't you know we're sharing this planet with animals and insects? I'm looking over there, there's a bird flying. There's a beautiful little moth kind of butterfly on the screen right in front of me. We share, now it's flying away, right, so flew a little distance as soon as I said that. And all this life here on Earth, you know, the over a million types of insects, there's a fly over there with eyes and wings and a little metabolism, capable of reproduction, and a little mind that goes where it wants to. You're looking for food. I don't fault them. I mean, they land on poop in the backyard and then try to get in the house. That I have a problem with, you know, but they don't know better. They're living out their lives in that survival mode, you know, where they only have two things on their minds: eat and to make new flies. And that's the way it is usually with the animal kingdom. And so we share the planet with animals and also the plant matter here, you know, trees, beautiful trees everywhere, which are alive. We don't know too much. We know very little, actually, about plant life and how they respond or can respond to human beings. My mother used to have a lot of flowers around our house, and she would talk to them, and they would respond. She would say, "They move when I talk to them. I've seen them move. They actually might turn a leaf or a flower towards you, looking as if looking at you," that kind of thing. They say when we get to heaven, that the flowers there, as you walk by, will all turn and look at you. Imagine that. Because they are alive, as if they've got a mind of their own. And that's a fact. I'm telling you the truth, my friends. Beware, not beware, but remember that, please. And so, plant and animal life is here on planet Earth, and it is a difficult, I'll say it again, a very difficult learning environment. And then you have these flash floods, and you get struck by lightning, and tornadoes and hurricanes and volcanoes exploding and tsunamis and earthquakes, not to mention the other dangers on the highway. I've said this so many times before. There's lots of ways to die. It weighs on us. It's a burden. Why is it a difficult learning environment? It's a hard school, one of the hardest in the universe. Would you please take a little bit of pride in knowing that you have survived another day on planet Earth? There are thousands and thousands of people that don't each day, my friend. So celebrate. Not only happy July 4th, by the way, I'm remiss for not having said a belated happy July 4th to everyone. I hope you had a good day of celebration, but also celebrate life, another day of living. Another day of living, my friends, on this planet. Always a case in point, you know. 40 some people died in this flash flooding. Wildfires in California. Hundreds of people die all the time. Nothing to be too afraid of. Me personally, every day is a gift, I feel that way. And I want to take advantage and learn as much as I can each day. I want to keep on learning. I want to keep on gaining knowledge and improving myself, evolving especially. I want to keep evolving my soul and increasing my soul's light. I've said this before. Part of why we're here, actually, if not the main reason, we're here is to increase the light of our souls. Our souls are the brain of the spirit that shine with a light. The creator of the universe put an infinitesimal spark, if you will, of his light in our souls. Kind of like you light up a lantern, you know, you got to reach inside with a match and light it. It's like the creator did that for all of our souls. Gave us a little spark of his huge light, if you will, because the creator is a light being, made of light. And so then, if you look into that lantern, that fire burning in the middle, you know how you can turn it up? You know, add the fuel, kerosene or whatever, turn it up and the light gets brighter, right? That is the goal. To increase the lamp of our soul, because believe me, my friend, when we get to heaven, I'm going to take a drink. The first thing you're going to notice when you get to the spirit land is that you shine with a certain intensity of light. We were born into this world also with an intensity of light. Inside of our bodies, you know, our baby bodies. We were in our mother's womb for 9 months. Does anybody remember that? No, I don't either. But at some time during those 9 months, our spirit and soul entered that physical body. Usually, it's sometime after the heart starts beating until the baby exits the mother's womb. Maybe halfway, or I think most spirits enter the mother's body into the baby towards the end of the pregnancy, because it can be difficult being inside there, you know. So maybe like a month or two before, generally speaking. And what does that tell you about the spirit and the soul? It's configuring. It can take on the shape of a baby or an adult. And as I mentioned, the soul is the brain of the spirit. And our goal then in a lifetime, and hopefully it's a long lifetime, it's not always that case. I'm going to take another drink. We could live to be 100 years old, and hopefully will, and maybe more than 100 years old, because this is the way I feel. And not everyone does, I know, but the more life that you have, the more days you're here, the more you get a chance to learn, the more you get the opportunity to develop your soul. And that's why we came here. So it makes sense, logical, that you would take every opportunity that you have to develop your soul. And let me reiterate that. You are here to develop yourself spiritually, period. There's no other reason. Not for to have a family, to raise children, to make money, to have vacations, to have a car, boat, an airplane, whatever. You're here to develop spiritually. Now, we need to live on this planet, and hopefully we want to live in comfort, so to speak, and have enough to satisfy our daily needs, plus a little more to take care of other people, enjoy ourselves, because you need money to enjoy yourself, you know. There's no doubt about, no getting around that. We do have to have money to survive well, shall we say, here on planet Earth. But I've kind of gone off on a tangent again. I'm getting around to getting back to where I was regarding worship in the church. And so people are at different levels of evolution. But when we come together at church on Sundays, we are able to collectively worship. And get on that same sheet of music, so to speak, where we can offer those praises to that higher power, just like the more advanced civilizations can do, and connect with that fourth dimension and know that they are there. They are invisible, but they are just hanging around waiting for us to know how to connect with them. We don't see them. We hear them sometimes. I'm talking about guardian angels, spirit guides. They're out there. Everyone has at least one spirit guide and one guardian angel, possibly more. And just like the mother and father God, the creator of the universe, angels, we can't see them because we are in the physical universe. We're in a physical realm. They are in the spirit realm, kind of like an underwater dimension, right? When you go down underneath the ocean, you need scuba diving gear, right? When you get down in there, you're in a completely different environment. Don't take your regulator off your mouth because you'll drown, right? So it is with the spirit realm. It's an entirely different dimension with different kinds of senses, although similar. We can see there. We can hear, we can feel, can taste. And there at church, like tomorrow, we always have really offered some excellent praise, in my opinion. And the songs that we sing are very beautiful with amazing lyrics that I love so much. Especially the gospel songs, which we sing a lot of still, even though we're not the gospel choir anymore, but you can envision going back in time a little bit to when we had slavery here in the United States and the black people, how they were oppressed and abused and mistreated and killed in some cases. They had their religion, if you will, and their praise and their worship sprung from those conditions. And they were very real with their praise and worship. One example is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. They, if I'm not mistaken, made that song. It was penned by somebody who was a slave. And that brings to mind really what happens when we get ready to transition to the other side. We can take a chariot. We can be taken in a chariot to heaven, or we could be taken by a deceased relative or an angel. You know, they could pull us out of our body and take us to where we need to go. Sometimes we gather by the level of evolution that we have achieved on Earth to distinct soul groups on the other side. But heaven is a very totally awesome and beautiful place. As I mentioned last week, I'll say it again. The colors are more intense there. The light is more intense. It's just like here on Earth. There are fields of gold. There are green meadows, grass. There's water there, believe it or not. Babbling brooks. There's rivers. There's oceans and seas. Trees, beautiful trees with fruit. There's beautiful fruit that we can eat when we're there. Isn't that amazing? And there's angels everywhere. We're going to reacquaint. There'll be a remembering when we get to the other side. You're going to see angels everywhere, different types of angels. I'm talking about the archangels, you know, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel. They all usually hang around the throne room. They're great and powerful angels, you know, especially Michael, who was the head of all the angels. And he is an amazing angel. I would like to just give him a... I hear he's like two or three times the size of a man, but I'd like to give him a hug and a kiss, you know, and say, thank you, Archangel Michael, for being there for us at all times. I mean, you've been seeing everything that's been going on here on planet Earth for thousands of years, and you helped out occasionally. Thank you. And just, you know, give him a hug and a kiss and say thank you. And of course, Archangel Gabriel, you know, who is a different kind of archangel. You know, Michael has that sword. Gabriel is kind of like the bringer of news and good tidings, you know, like he was with the Virgin Mary. And at other times throughout our history, and Archangel Uriel, a messenger, Raphael, the archangel of healing. And then there are the cherubims that are around the throne room. And I'm talking about these, not the baby cherubims, but these are the angels that are extremely powerful, you know, and tall, and have the heads of either a human or an ox or an eagle or a lion. Sometimes they have just one, like one angel with the head of an ox, or maybe the head of a lion or head of an eagle. Sometimes they have two heads on the same body, sometimes four heads. And these are ones that are usually around directly around the thrones of the Mother and Father God and Jesus. How about you? Do you want a throne right next to theirs? It's available for you. Are you interested? And I sell you a piece of real estate right next to the Mother and Father God in that beautiful throne room filled with light and worship and laughter and joy and dancing, singing with the redeemed, dancing on the sea of glass right in front of the throne room. And the Mother and Father God shining with a light so brilliant that unless you are sufficiently developed spiritually, you won't have the ability to withstand the glory and brilliance of their light. I'm serious. Come on now. You've got to learn how to develop your light, because you want to be where that action is, right? In the throne room with the Mother and Father God. You don't want to be embarrassed in front of them, do you? And everyone gets to spend some time in front of them to be held accountable for our lives on Earth. And that judgment day is coming for each and every one of us. And we want our mother and father God to shine with their light, not have to suppress it to us for us because we can't withstand it, right? That's why it's important, and it behooves us to develop our own lights while we're lights, while we're here on earth. Like I said before, right? But those angels, the cherubims that are around the throne, and then there's the seraphims, which also are extremely bright, as if they're on fire. And then there are other angels, ordinary angels. There are virtues. There are dominions. There are principalities. Different types of angels. But there will be remembering when we get back there. And also, things will become familiar with us. People that we knew. All these deceased relatives that have preceded us will be there to greet us. Guaranteed, my friends, take it from the Reverend Blake. We continue to exist in our spirit and in our soul. And it looks just like the physical body. Almost the identical characteristics. However, we can also be just an orb of light, of consciousness. But we can always change the structure, if you will, of our spirit. In different ways. That's why people you see in heaven on that world of light over there in the center of our solar system, that matrix that provides light and heat to all the planets and also rotates them on their axes and revolves them around itself. You look inside the sun with your imagination. You will see that world I was talking about that looks identical to Earth here, trees everywhere, with the fruit of life, trees of life with that fruit, and angels everywhere, and roads of paved gold, and fountains made of silver, and the walls of pearl on the city, filled with, in some places, precious stones of every type imaginable, rubies, diamonds, emeralds, garnets, opals. That's all I can think of right now. Every single one of them, amethysts. Every precious stone that you can imagine in all its beauty and glory, if you will, are there. And there are feasts all the time that lay out these tables, and angels are helping everywhere. And there's always a celebration because we're worshiping. They're worshiping the miracle of all creation, my friends. There didn't have to be anything. If it wasn't for the creator of the universe, we wouldn't exist. None of us would. None of us around me here. A house, the fence, trees, clouds, water. And so the worship and the praise continues there in heaven. And people are joyful. We don't have to sleep anymore. We don't have to be worried about bodily fluids anymore. I don't want to make this sound kind of crazy, but if you meet a woman, a member of the opposite sex that you like there in heaven, you spend some time with them because there really isn't any time. It's a timeless place, and love is the key there. You can love that person in many ways, imaginable. You know what I mean? The reproduction act here on Earth continues there, but it's what they call emerging of spirit, where you actually merge your spirit and become one. And they say that orgasms can last 7 minutes. I don't want to be kind of, got to be careful with what I say, but wouldn't that be great? And it's love. You don't have to worry about bodily fluids. you know, getting women getting pregnant. And so with that in mind, the situation is a lot more pleasant, so to speak. And always in the background, there is that diligent continuation, if you will, of praising the creator of the universe, knowing that he, she is out there and is so worthy of being praised for the creation that exists and for us being a part of it. And there also you'll see people that lived here on Earth, that walk this Earth like we are walking on it right now, from all different cultures, with no religions to divide us. Everyone is there that lived here on Earth with the goal of praising the creator of the universe for the miracle of all creation. There is no religion on Earth. There's only praise and worship, thanking the creator for our existence. And all the great people that have ever existed on Earth, Gandhi, Einstein, philosophers, all those philosophers and astronomers and musicians, Beethoven, Mozart, great people from throughout the centuries are there. And it's a party. It really is. It's going to be a great time. You're going to love it. I'm going to love it. We're going to love it. I'm going to take a drink. And animals are there too, our pets that have preceded us, our beautiful pets. They're going to be there, and then there are other animals. There won't be any mosquitoes in heaven, I guarantee you. No flies, no, nothing to bother us. It's all going to be good. There's only light there. There's no darkness. So gold and silver everywhere, precious stones everywhere. And there will be lots of activities going on. Worship services, people giving lectures and speeches, Martin Luther King Jr., all these great minds that have lived in the past will be there that we can attend, and all and everyone saying the great things they used to say here on Earth and expanding upon that, everyone increasing their soul's evolution. And eventually, while there, and there's going to be a period of time when we will relax and enjoy the fruits of our labor and the activities in heaven and mingle with everyone and get to love everyone and meet everyone and experience that joy and happiness. But then we'll get back to the serious business of thinking about reincarnating on another planet so that we can increase our souls. Now, how would this sound to you? Let's say you did a good job, a great job here on Earth. You evolved your soul. You developed yourself spiritually. You were a good, kind person. You helped the poor. You helped people whenever they needed it. You were of service. Being of service is very important to your fellow human beings. Praying, you prayed for people, you prayed for everyone. You prayed for the people in the flood, you prayed for the people in the wildfires and the earthquakes, and you gave money to help out occasionally. You spoke good words, always trying to stay positive. So congratulations, you graduated from this existence. When that day comes, your expiration date, and the Mother and Father God call you home, and then you have to think about, like I said, you have a period of rest there where you can enjoy the love and fun and activities in heaven. But then you go to the heavenly computer room and you put in some parameters, some data. Okay, now what is going to help me to evolve even more? What kind of planet out there can I go to? What's available at what time in their evolution, at what time in their period, or let me rephrase that, in their kind of like, you know, there might be a planet out there the way Earth was 2,000 years ago, and that kind of evolution where you have people who are, you know, just barely discovered the wheel, and they have, you know, they know how to form fire, and they have very crude weapons, spears and bows and arrows, and, you know, they have to eat meat to survive, and they're just learning to cultivate crops, you know, and so in the very basic beginnings of a civilization, the way we were maybe 2,000-4,000 years ago, there could be a planet out there, but why would you go back to that kind of an existence? Why not instead, as an example, go to some civilization out there, like maybe you saw the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those gray beings, you know, extremely, extremely intelligent, who have mastered the art of space travel, you know, or star travelers. And they have some really cool flying saucers that you can fly, you know, once you get trained in how to do that. And maybe some don't eat any food. Some don't need any sleep. Some don't need to breathe. There are different varieties of bodies out there that you can choose from depending on how much evolution you need. You know, you can set your path, set a course for what you want to become. Ultimately, you want to be a co-creator God. That should be your goal, I think. Now, some people might not want to be incarnated again, but most do, from what I hear. And I've got 1 minute, my friends. So I'll pick up on this next week. So thank you for listening. May the Creator, here's a prayer, Creator of the universe, please bless us all, everyone, protect us, help all the good people. There's so many good people here on planet Earth. Creator, I've seen them. Loving, kind, decent, fun, joyful people, family-oriented. Help us to survive. Help bring peace if possible. That could be your will. Thank you for everything. We love you. Amen. Goodbye, everyone. Talk to you next week.